superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You are such a genius.
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Last one for you, advice that you'd give Alvin Kamara, Melvin.
Available now on the Rich Eisen Show app.
Run!
Earlier on the show, Chargers defensive back Chris Harris Jr. Still to come from NBC Sports, Eddie Olczyk, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan,
the Matchroll,
plus WWE superstar The Miz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We already talked to Chris Harris Jr. of the LA Chargers, who named Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback for 2020. So Tyrod Taylor is back in the starting quarterback saddle. Kirk Cousins is in the news about what he told Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football for his podcast, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, that is available on Spotify and The Ringer. And Kyle's about to join us in about 20 minutes' time. Matt Ryan and The Miz in hour number three. Your phone calls throughout. Our poll question is yet to be unpacked here on The Rich Eisen Show. Why don't you do that real quick, Christopher, before we get to the lines and our friend Eddie Olczyk. What do you have, Chris?
It is the 56th birthday today of Keanu Reeves, one of our finest actors. 56.
Wow. 56.
56. What's the best Keanu movie, guys? Point Break, Speed, John Wick, The Matrix. At Rich Eisen Show, vote right now.
All right. All right.
It is neck.
Point.
It is
Break,
neck and neck
Speed,
right now.
Speed, John Wick, and The Matrix. Bill and Ted didn't make the cut, huh?
It's not as good as these four.
Come on. Sure? Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Which one of those movies have I never seen?
Ooh. I say The Matrix.
I have not seen one of these films. I have not seen one of these films.
I say,
Rich Eisen sharing. Rich Eisen has not seen one of
Matrix.
These films.
I'm
no, I'm not going to answer right now.
We're done talking about the holes in my movie, you know.
Actually, I've never seen
one
of them.
I'm not here for you that you're done with stuff. You're not done with your holes in your movies. You got tons of holes in your movies.
So do you.
And
by
talking about
so
it.
Do you.
I know
he hasn't
that.
Seen the greatest film of all
I know
time.
That, but at least I admit
which
it.
Right. Citizen Kane, AFI.
Again, like
one.
I said, movies
I
that are 80 years old cannot compare to anything made today.
And I will say this and put a button in this conversation. Citizen Kane is so great. Citizen Kane is so ahead of its time. Citizen Kane is still so timely. Citizen Kane is all that. So good. One of the first ever directed, written, acted films, Orson Welles. What he did was so groundbreaking that it, however old it is, still requires a spoiler alert. That's how good it is.
Exactly.
Okay. And
if it was ahead of its time in 1941, it would have been in color. Okay, guys. Like,
oh my God,
get over it.
Chris Brockman, everybody. That's his takes that Citizen Kane should have been in color, and Russell Westbrook should be deactivated prior to tonight's Game 7. Are
both are true?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. From NBC Sports, we're here on NBC Sports on Peacock every day from 12 to 3 Eastern. We're simulcast on NBCSN every single weekday. Our friend from NBC Sports, he's so good that one sport cannot contain him. From the NHL on NBC, as well as the coverage of the Kentucky Derby that has been delayed for so many months, finally will be run on Saturday on NBC at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Our friend Eddie Olchek. How are you, Eddie?
Hi, Rich. Nice to be with you. And yeah, the first Saturday in September, not the first Saturday in May, we're going to have the run for the roses. And looking forward to being a part of our NBC coverage. And I just, before you brought me in, you were talking about Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
If Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Boston Bruins, ever has a movie done about him in his life, I think the perfect gentleman to play him would be Keanu Reeves. Exactly. Take a look at that, and you'd sit there and go, you know what? You got something there. So
okay.
I'll take 10%. I'll take 10% if that happens.
Eddie, we're just going to lay that one down. I mean, I know Keanu doesn't really age, so I think it kind of works, right? You know, I mean, it kind of works right here.
Yeah, absolutely. How you doing? Everything okay?
Everything's fine. Good. Thank you for asking. We're muddling through. Let's start with the hockey world, Eddie.
Yeah.
Let's start with what you think of what's going on in the bubble and how you think no fans is affected or home ice advantage, how you think that has affected the way that things have played out for Lord Stanley's Cup so far.
Well, full disclosure, I'm currently in quarantine in the Edmonton bubble right now.
Okay.
I just got here a couple of days ago, so I have a couple more days of quarantine, and meaning can't leave my room. They come and test me every day, once a day, and once I am cleared, then I'll be able to get amongst the NHL family here in the bubble and be able to get to work and do the Oaks coverage and Derby coverage for Austin and also the hockey coverage. But as far as the games, honestly, Rich, I mean, I think they've been very entertaining. I think the understanding is that, yeah, there are no fans, but as a player and having played in the league as long as I did for 16 years, is, you know, no disrespect to what I think are the best fans in all the sports, is that when you're playing, you're really not hearing, you're not thinking, you're not, you know, you're not wandering, right? You don't know. You're just playing. The only time you know there's fans is after either something happens or you're sitting on the bench and you're looking into an empty arena or what have you. So I think the mental challenge for all of these sports, not only the National Hockey League, but for the WNBA, the NBA, Major League Baseball, you know, whatever else we got going on, soccer, is that it's that, you know, understanding that you got a job to do, but also respecting and knowing that we got a lot going on in the real world and we're here to entertain, and that's for us as broadcasters as well. But I think for the most part, the games have been pretty darn good. I think they've been entertaining. I think that the teams are all in, and we're down to seven teams right now, and three of the four series were on the brink, and all those teams staved off elimination, and now we're going to have a bunch of game sixes. So all in all, I think it's been pretty good. And oh, by the way, a tip of the hockey helmet to the National Hockey League. They've done an amazing job in both bubbles, in Toronto and in Edmonton, and the leadership of the commissioner, Mr. Bettman, Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, the board of governors, the players association, the return to play committee, and all the medical people that are helping this go through. It's been amazing to see what's taking place. And I think hockey fans have been entertained. And at the end of the day, Rich, that's what we all want.
Best team left in the bubbles is fill in the blank.
I would probably say Tampa. Not knowing the injury to Nikita Kucherov, who you would argue is their best player. He got hurt the other night in Game 5 against Boston, took an errant stick from Zdeno Chara. So, but the way that they've played, they have been able to play a hard game, a game that, tight checking, but also they've been able to play Rich, the type of game where they can play the skill game and dictate that type. So they've gotten great goaltending from Andrei Vasilevsky, who is one of the best goalies in the league. So right now, I would have to say the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay. And which team in the West, which one do you take?
Well, I thought Dallas was the sleeper at the start of the regular season prior to the pause.
Right.
They didn't start off very well, but they've kind of found their game here. And yes, they've probably taken advantage of an opportunity with Colorado and their goaltending situation, and then losing Eric Johnson, the big defenseman. So they're up 3-2. They missed an opportunity to end the series the other night. So now they have a game, a huge game six tonight. I mean, Vegas, you know, Vegas looks like they're the most complete team. Now, they lost last night and got out goaltended. I shouldn't say they got out goaltended. I mean, Thatcher Demko of the Vancouver Canucks just, you know, he played out of his mind in his first playoff start and had 43 shots on goal and stopped 42 of them. So Vegas probably deserved a little bit better. But I look at the overall picture, you know, Vegas looks to be the team that maybe just has it above everybody else in the West. But I thought Dallas would give everybody a run, and you know, they're on the verge of going to the conference final. So don't underestimate the Dallas Stars; they're pretty good as well.
And we'll see if it's Philly or the Islanders who can join the Lightning. And then tonight again on NBCSN at 8 Eastern time, we'll see if Dallas can close out Colorado, or the Avalanche can, I guess, pull a Denver Nuggets and force a game 7 here. You know. See if they can take some inspiration from the local basketball team there. Eddie Olczyk joining us. I guess let me ask you a question. The bubble portal, entry portal, literally you are in your hotel room. You may not leave it. That is essentially what is happening right now.
That is the protocol for anybody that comes into the bubble, and it's 4 straight days of in your room. And just doing what you need to do. And look, thankfully for me, I mean, you know, it's Derby week, so I'm up to my ears in horse racing, and I'm also up to my ears in keeping, you know, what's going on in the National Hockey League. So lots of FaceTime. I just became a grandfather over the course of the pandemic, so I'm very proud of that. My granddaughter Audrey Marie Olczyk was born on July the 7th. So my son Eddie and my daughter-in-law Erica are proud parents, and I get to see my granddaughter all the time, and especially now with me being away. So it helps pass the time. Rich. Oh. And there was a nice way to wake up today when my son and my daughter-in-law called me, and there was my granddaughter on the other end of on the FaceTime. So that was really cool. So hey, look at, hey, it's what it is. Look at, and we understand, and I understand what's going on in the real world. Absolutely, 100%. And as part of the protocol to keep everybody safe, and look at, I think the league has had, don't quote me, I think they've had like 30,000 tests now in the course of the first 5 weeks that they've been in the bubble, or 6 weeks, and you know, they're perfect. So whatever they're doing, they're doing it right, and I'll be let out of my room on Friday, and then it'll be full bore of pucks and ponies on the weekend for Eddie Olczyk.
I was about to say, you're going to be like coming out of the gate like a thoroughbred. Like you'll be bucking behind that door when they can finally open. Very important question then.
Bucking and squealing.
That's
exactly
right. Exactly. It's a very important question before we move on to the horses. Is there at least a mini bar in that room?
Eddie. Well, you're talking to somebody that has only, I don't even know if drink is the right word, but I've only drank 3 times in my life. But you know,
but Eddie, I was not talking about that. I literally is like Toblerone, like, you know, I mean, like like some snacking, you know what I mean?
You know what, Rich? You know what? I'm going to go through all these drawers right now while you got me on the air here.
Let's do it. What do you got, Eddie?
Come on. I'm going to tell you what I got here. Okay, I got, I got the holy book here. Okay, that's good to have.
Okay, what else?
I have an iron. I have a safe I have no reason, because my wife has all my money. I do have a refrigerator.
Wow. Okay.
And let's see. And I have a nice robe here at the nice Marriott. So that's, other than that, Rich.
Other than that.
That's all I got.
Oh, my God. They locked the door. I mean, in Edmonton Marriott, I mean, okay. Listen, take the robe and put it on the Rich Eisen show, okay? We'll send that up the Peacock flowchart.
You know, I might want to take this ottoman I got in the room here.
The ottoman, very good.
Put that on expenses.
The ottoman senators, everybody. Hey, now that's a little bit of a dad joke hockey pun to move us to
Dave Ottoman or Dave.
That's and I don't look. I have no excuse. I'm not in a bubble. I've just lost my mind. So let's move to the ponies here. Eddie Olczyk here on the Rich Eisen show. Tis the law, 3 to 5. We're assuming, is that an appropriate odds for this horse? This horse is gonna repeat. What do you think? What do you got for me?
Well, I mean, I think 3 to 5 would be generous if you could lock that in right now. I don't think he's going to be 3 to 5. I think he's going to be less than that, just because people know his history and the resume. I mean, he's won 6 of 7 career races. Now, the only race he did not win was at Churchill Downs, but now that was on a sloppy track. Supposed to be beautiful weather in Louisville on Saturday. So, I mean, look, he is, he is the goods. The horse that I liked going into the Derby unfortunately had to scratch because of a foot injury. Art Collector, look for him in the Preakness in about, what is that, about 4 or 5 weeks from now. Rich, Art Collector looks like a horse that people should be taking notice of. So look, if you're in the you know, making wagers on favorites, look at, I'm all for that. Look at, if you want to invest $5 and get back $7, some people don't mind that. If you want to add a zero to that, then, you know, hey.
Eddie, let me just interrupt you. We are not interested in that. We are absolutely uninterested thoroughly in that. What can you tell those?
Rich, hold on a second.
Yes. Yes.
If you decided to bet $5,000 to win on them and you got back $7,000 total, that's a pretty good return on money in a matter of about 2 minutes and 2 seconds. You're making $2,000 on your money in 2 minutes.
Then
right?
Let me interrupt you right there. I am thoroughly uninterested in that, too. So let's find the nice middle between betting $5,000.
I'll just say this for you fandom there.
Yes.
I am not going to pick Tis the Law to win the Derby. Like, I will be... Like, it's probably going to be 99.8% of the people out there picking are going to pick Tis the Law. I can't pick a horse 2-5 in an 18-horse field.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, I'm looking to a horse that I think in the morning line is 30-1, is coming out of post position number 3. The name of the horse is Enforceable.
Of course, a hockey guy likes Enforceable. Come on, Eddie.
Well, you know, hey, look, we all feel a little taller and a little stronger when we have some enforcers around us.
Yes.
Enforceable is a horse that is not going to be in the picture early, meaning he's not going to be near the front, probably going to be sitting, I don't know, maybe 12th, 13th, 14th in the race. I think the horse can get the mile and a quarter distance. A lot of these horses haven't run a mile and a quarter. Some have, including Tis the Law, so he is proven at the distance. But I'm going to love the value of this horse. I think it's going to get every bit of 30-1 on this horse. And look at, even if you want to just put the horse, put some money on this horse across the board, meaning win, place, or show, all the horse has to do is finish first, second, and third, and you're probably going to triple or quadruple your money if the horse happens to finish third. But I think the race is going to set up nicely for him. Now, is he classy enough? Is he good enough? He's stepping into the major leagues. Time will tell, but I think there's enough good things that can happen for him in this race to make a run, and maybe I'll get a little excited at the eighth pole, and maybe the three horse will come running and mow them all down at 30-1, and hopefully people will be able to cash in. So look, whether you want to use this horse as a win bet or a place or a show, that's one thing, but I would suggest using them in your exactas, meaning your top two finishes or your trifecta. I think the three has been training well. We had a much better post position than he's had the last couple of races. So I'm going to take a shot here, but I'm going to put a few bucks on the three horse Enforceable to win the 146 running of the Kentucky Derby.
All right. Now, when you say trifecta, that means there's a third horse. So let's just say somebody's like, okay, Tis the Law is going to win. And so a 17-5, and then you trifecta. Sure. What do we...
Well, sure.
Again,
sure.
And this is just you know, for Watson and giggles,
exactly. I'm gonna have a few of those
17-3
on Saturday. How about this? I'm gonna be out of the bubble, and I'll be in the arena in Edmonton, doing the horse racing from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and calling and giving picks in Louisville. I'll give you some numbers here. You gotta use a 3 Enforceable. Another long shot I think you should use is the 15 New York Traffic.
Okay.
The 16 horse Honor AP and the 17 Tis the Law. So if you box the 3, 15, 16, 17, any combination of those four horses that finish in the top three, you're gonna make your money and then some, because those are a couple of horses, New York Traffic and Enforceable, are going to be every bit of, you know, probably north of 25 and 30-1. So now the key is that Tis the Law finishes third, and then if you can get those other three horses in a top two, then you're going to really get paid. So if you invest maybe $12 or $24 in that wager, you might turn that, if the numbers come up right, you might turn the $24 into maybe $600 or $700.
There you go. I'm glad you didn't say the 50-1 South Bend, because as a Michigan Wolverine, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you left South Bend out of it, Ed. I'll be very honest with you.
Hey, just for people that know, real quick, King Guillermo, who is going to be the 4-5, he is the 6th horse. King Guillermo is owned, I don't know if you know this, Rich, is owned by Victor Martinez, former Major League All-Star and great hitter for the Cleveland. Yeah, he owns King Guillermo. He's only been horse racing, I want to say, just less than the last maybe 8 or 10 months, but he's got himself a This horse is going to run good. You're going to hear the name King Guillermo early in this race. I don't know if he can go that far, and he's been off, I think, for almost 4 or 5 months. But just a little sports story there that Victor Martinez owns the six horse King Guillermo.
Love it, Ed. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you spending some time in the Edmonton bubble with us. But, I mean, what's more 2020, Eddie Olczyk, than saying that you're in the Edmonton bubble to get ready for conference finals action in a pandemic for the NHL while covering the Kentucky Derby that's normally held the Saturday after the NFL draft. Now it's the Saturday before the NFL season. But that's 2020 for you right there.
Rich, stay safe. And you know what? Let's just get on the right side of this. And everybody stay safe out there. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk in the next couple of weeks as we'll get set for the NHL Stanley Cup final. That's Eddie Olczyk joining us from the Edmonton bubble. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show and NBC. Riders up, 2:30 p.m. Eastern. I don't know if that's when the Riders get up. I mean, that's when Tirico's up, probably.
No, the Riders usually get up around 6:15 Eastern.
That's a long day
of coverage.
I mean, there's a lot of Randy Moss, which I'll take. I love Randy.
Randy Moss, who looks like me.
Huh?
Randy Moss.
That's right.
Yes.
He's part of the Brotherhood, Randy Moss.
Yes, he is.
Our Randy Moss.
All right.
Okay. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and a podcast that just keeps on making news. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. Bet online, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. So waiting for the NBC SN audience and portions of our radio audience to return. That's the way we roll on a quadcast. That's the way I'm rolling. Our poll question, which we'll bring up to Kyle Brandt in a second. What's the best Keanu Reeves movie? This is in honor of his 56th birthday.
56 today, man.
Wow, my gosh. And you chose the four.
I chose the four
Twitter
big ones.
Spots to be filled up by Point Break, Speed, John Wick, and The Matrix. Okay. I revealed earlier in the first hour when we revealed the poll question that I have not seen one of those films. I will reveal it to Kyle Brandt in a matter of moments. And this is what we call a tease, or for some, thoroughly insignificant information.
It's an important topic.
I understand, but I'm giving the range in the same way that Eddie Olczyk said, if you're the type of person who wants to bet $5 to win $7, you know, 'tis the law is not the horse for you. But if you're the person to bet $5,000 to win $7,000, 'tis the law is the horse for you. And I said, I'm somewhere in between those spots. Not interested in 5 for 7. Could never look at my children and wife saying, come on, 'tis the law. Dad's got $5,000 on this. I would not fly. Wow. Wouldn't fly like David Blaine. Let's put it that way.
Hey, now.
We're back on NBC SN and the rest of our quadcast. What's the best Keanu Reeves movies? Our poll question. Point Break, Speed, John Wick, and The Matrix. We'll get to that in a second. A couple pieces of National Football League news to get to before we get to our guest. Alvin Kamara and Sean Payton have spoken. All it took was one leak to Josina Anderson that the Saints were up or willing. There's a possibility that they were willing to trade Alvin Kamara. That's all it took was that one leak, and then Alvin Kamara is like, hey, let me speak to Sean Payton. So it looks like the whole Alvin Kamara is holding out, and that might cause a rift that winds up with Kamara not being Kamara for the Saints anymore. It looks like that might not happen. It looks like Kamara is going to be back in the fold. We'll see how that goes, which would be great for Kamara and the Saints and all Saints fans, damn sure.
There was no doubt, right?
Well, I mean, there's doubt. We spoke to Melvin Gordon, the Bronco, yesterday, didn't we?
True.
So there's that. And then there's this particular soundbite elicited by our next guest of Kirk Cousins. This is what Kirk told Kyle Brandt on 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, the stellar podcast that's available from The Ringer and Spotify, when the subject of mask wearing and COVID-19 came up.
For me personally, if you're just talking, no one else can get the virus. What is your concern if you could get it? I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of an approach, and just say, yeah, if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. You know, even if I die, I kind of have peace about that. So that's really where I fall on it. So my opinion, you know, wearing a mask and is really about being respectful to other people. It really has nothing to do with my own personal thoughts.
Now then, Kirk Cousins fatalist. I didn't see that one coming, but that's why you download.
What, and
you,
that?
Well, not particularly, I'll be honest. That's why you download and listen to 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt on The Ringer and Spotify back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Rich, in addition to a myriad of options you present to your viewers and listeners, I'm on the Peacock right now. I'm excited. Very excited.
You're on the Quadcast, which is what I'm calling it, Kyle. I don't know who else is calling it that, but you know, when you're on linear cable and streaming, as well as satellite radio and terrestrial radio, there's just not enough ways for me to disseminate pertinent information. It's essentially
what I'm saying. It's fantastic. I've always wanted to share the same vessel as the great Kevin Costner, which I do now. We're a Yellowstone family, and he also can be seen on the Peacock, so I'm fired up, Rich.
Look at you, Kyle. There's no I in Kyle, but there is a Y, but there, I don't know what that means. Look, man, as you know, in this business, when you're asking questions, normally you'd like to know the answer beforehand. You did the head nod, as Kirk Cousins says, if I die, I die. Like he went Drago on you. That was quite something. When did you interview him, by the way?
It goes back a few weeks, Rich.
Okay.
And Kirk is kind of an old buddy. Like we're both from the Chicago suburbs. We have a lot of the same dad humor. So he came on and, We stumbled into that topic. That's not something that I had in my bullet points or my planned questions or anything. And we started talking about, you know, because this is a few weeks ago, like I said, what do you think the facility is going to be like, Kirk, in this corona world? And he said, well, you know, I think there's going to be a dichotomy of some guys who couldn't care less, some guys who were really into it. And he mentioned something about masks. And so I just threw it out of left field. I just said, scale of 1 to 10, Kirk. Everybody has a number. What's your mask sensitivity? Are you a 1 where you don't care and think it's pointless, or 10, you're never leaving the house again and you're really nervous? And he says 0.00001, which I was really surprised by. And I think, to your great credit here, Rich, on the show with you and the staff, I liked that you played the full soundbite.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's gotten real, real clickbaity today. And it's just basically been boiled all the way down to, if I die, I die, which, as you said, the worst thing you want to give the internet is a well-worn Ivan Drago trope that they can run with and Photoshop Kirk Cousins' head onto giant Soviet shoulders. So they've done it. It's left the barn. I was very surprised at the time you said it, because it's kind of a hard quote to follow. I think his bottom line is, I don't really wear masks for myself, and I'm comfortable, but I do it so that other people are comfortable, and that's how I get down. I think that's what he means.
Yeah, that's what he's – well, I mean, that's – and yeah, it was one of those where I didn't quite follow. But we do know
right.
that there's a large part of our population that is mask-averse, and I'm not one of them. And the fact is that the NFL and the Players Association have essentially been advocates for wearing masks, as has pretty much anybody who's an athlete, I guess, in many ways, to make a living, because that's the way that we can possibly have sports. So to hear somebody of Kirk's stature say that, it was a little jarring to me. I'm not going to lie, but I was at least pleased to hear that he said, and this is no virtue signaling or anything like that. And you've been you had a video a couple weeks, if not a month ago, talking about the importance of mask wearing that went very viral, if I'm not mistaken. I was at least pleased to hear him say that he does it for the comfort of others, and also to make sure that he might not be inadvertently getting anyone else sick.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, we have a big mask household here. We don't leave the house. We don't get the mail. We don't do anything without it. But I think you tapped into what is really reverberating with this. if an athlete just said something that pissed people off, that's a dime a dozen, and people, you know, have their pound of flesh and they get mad about it. What's interesting about this is that if you go into the social media hallways where this is reverberating, there are thousands of people who are tweeting things like, my respect for Kirk Cousins just skyrocketed. Finally, somebody said it. Now here's an athlete I can finally agree with. It's not just this one-sided thing. There are countless masses of non-maskers or of champions of the non-mask who are now rallying behind the quote. It's we can't fall into thinking that just because you and I wear masks that everyone does. It's Kirk Cousins is not being torn apart unilaterally for this quote. In fact, in some circles, he's being championed.
Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of the quartet on Good Morning Football every day on NFL Network, and now the host of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, The Ringer, and Spotify is how you can get that. Great chat with Rudd, Paul Rudd, last week. Just a delight. I mean, he is one of the most delightful human beings on the planet, as you know. And I did not know that story about him with Neil Diamond. Would you please care to... reveal that for those who might not have heard that story that
sure.
you got from Paul.
Yeah, the great Paul Rudd, as many actors did, started some jobs that he wasn't really thrilled with, and he used to be a DJ, primarily at bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. But he said he did one 40-year-old birthday party, and part of his obligations as the DJ is to do a little table work, to work the room, to have make sure everyone was having a nice time. So he played a little Wang Chung, and stepped away from the DJ booth, and he said that by some coincidence, Neil Diamond was an attendee at this party. So he walks up to Neil Diamond and says, Mr. Diamond, are you having fun tonight? And he said, yes, I am. And he said, well, more importantly, are you wanging chung tonight? And Neil wow. Diamond, without blinking, says, well, I always try to wang chung anytime I go out to a party. It's very important. And he just deadpans it. Total badass, does not miss a beat. It was the perfect Gary Payton to Sean Kemp alley-oop from the guy who would become Brian Fantana and Ant-Man to the guy who sings Forever in Blue Jeans. That's history right there.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa. Just fantastic. Never thought there would be – and that's why a pod like yours is great, and why I'm sure, again, Simmons was attracted to the whole concept is that yep. to have Paul Rudd, Neil Diamond, Wang Chung, and DJing all in one story, that is that's the good stuff right there.
Oh, it's the greatest.
You know? And so who is coming up on your pod?
Well, so we've done – Aaron Rodgers batted leadoff.
Yes, indeed.
Then we had Tyrann Mathieu, then Paul Rudd, and now Kirk Cousins. And now we're into kind of parts unknown, Rich. You understand this. I've told you this for years. Mm-hmm. I think you still have one of, if not the best, book shows in the industry. Every time I'm invited to come on, I'm like, what, did Daniel Day-Lewis pull out or something like that? Did a spot open up? So you get the deal here.
Right.
And now I'm just – we have an episode due next Wednesday, and we have none recorded and nobody booked.
OMG.
So I'm out there casting the nets and chumming the waters.
Okay. So if you booked the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears week one, who would that be?
I think it's going to be Mitch.
Of course it is. Come on. You and I both know it is. Come on.
Here's why it might not be. I got a thought on this, Rich. And hear me out. And this gets into the psyche of Bears fans and also of Matt Nagy. The question, there's two questions. One, who's going to start, of course. But then the big question is they get prepared to play Detroit week one. How long is the leash here? When does the Shepherd's Hook come out? I mean, we've seen starting guys start week one and be benched at halftime. If Mitch Trubisky starts... And let's say they lose to Detroit. Let's say he doesn't play great. Is there already a fervor in Chicago? Because this is no ordinary backup quarterback. This is the guy with the statue who makes miracles when he comes off the bench. I think if Foles wins the job, I don't think there's a clamoring for Mitch, even if Foles struggles. The Bears fans have seen Mitch. They know what he is and what he isn't. But if Mitch wins it, there's a very small margin of error before the put-in-the-statue guy off the sideline comes in. That question is going to be just as important as who starts.
But if we're talking, and we are obviously talking about,
yeah.
if we're talking about what's easiest to start with and then not go, and then what's most difficult to pull the plug on, obviously mm-hmm. it's more difficult to pull the plug on Mitchell than it is on Foles. And it's much easier to start Foles in regards to, okay, this is a guy who won the Super Bowl, and we're going to try and win football game. We're going with the guy who gives us the best chance to win. But if it's difficult, most difficult to pull the plug on Trubisky, you can't do it prior to week one. You just flat out can't. I think that the Bears still, deep down, whether it's Ryan Pace, I don't know if it's Nagy anymore, but it's Ryan Pace or it's, you know, the ghost of Papa Bear. I don't know what it is, but they are just still hoping against hope that Mitchell Trubisky, the guy that took such a major leap forward in the year that Nagy won Coach of the Year for it, they're hoping that guy's still there and that they cannot say, let's just go with Nick Foles right here. I don't think that's the case, Kyle. That's where I'm going.
It could be Pace. It could be George Halas. But the case for Foles here to win the job is Nagy saying, screw it. I'm done. I did not draft Mitch Trubisky. I was in the Chiefs room when they took Mahomes when they took Trubisky. Trubisky is – I married into this one. This is my stepchild. I love him, but I am not Mitch Trubisky's father. This is not the guy I drafted, and I'm not messing around this year. I'm not doing 8-8. I'm not doing 9-7. I brought Foles here because I got a history with him, and I'm done with Mitch. If he says that, I could understand it. And he said, I don't care who they drafted. I wasn't here when it happened. I'm going with my guy. That's Foles' shot, and I think it would make sense for Nagy.
You know, it's interesting, Kyle, just to bring up once again here, you know, that Fournette getting released and then went through waivers completely. The Jaguars had a shot at Mahomes and Watson, too, you know, just like the Bears. And the Bears getting so much grief. I just don't know if, again, it's just Chicago's a different media market than obviously Duval County. But would the Bears take Fournette, do you think? What do you think?
I don't think so. It's fascinating to me, man, Rich, that Fournette is sitting at home right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The guy had more yards than Dalvin Cook last year. He's 25. I think he's one of the five or six best college running backs I've ever seen. What he did to Auburn on that Saturday was a hilarious display. And he's been productive, and now nobody wants him. I don't think the Bears are interested because I don't think the Montgomery injury is that bad, and I think they're going to do some creative things in the meantime, and I just don't think they're into that business. These running backs, man. If Leonard Fournette was around in 1991, he'd be getting 30 carries a game and all the money in the world, and he'd be celebrating. And now it's – unless you do crazy, magical things like McCaffrey or Derrick Henry, it's just not happening. And all these guys, Saquon, Nick Chubb, all these guys coming down the pipe, Kamara, obviously – the teams are looking at him like, yeah, we just saw a Super Bowl in which the two running backs were Damian Williams and Raheem Mostert. So we're just getting a little cramp in our check writing hand right now, and I get it.
But now that he's gone through waivers, he is, one would say, dirt cheap. You know who would take – should take him? Steelers. Steelers should grab him right now.
I love it.
Steelers should grab him.
Tomlin should have split carries with him.
Exactly. I mean, the Titans already have Derrick Henry, and you know, that I don't know. Maybe I guess that he could take the carries from Henry to make sure he doesn't get. But Henry's the type of guy. It's like, give me that 20th, give me that 30th carry because I'm tougher, and you're weaker because I've given you all I've gotten for 20, and I'm going to get stronger now. That Fournette to me in Pittsburgh, when it's going to get cold, and you need to make sure that Big Ben isn't throwing it 70 yards in the air and it's touchdown, and all of a sudden they're back on the field against the Ravens, right? Or if Big Ben isn't, if Big Ben does suffer the same fate as, say, Eli and then Phillip last year, and that's the two quarterbacks he's associated with for good reason, they drafted together, that there is a diminishing return factor for Ben, certainly coming off of that injury. Fournette with Connor and the rest of that crew, that's the old school Steelers stuff with the new school stuff that they're doing. And that defense, I think Fournette would put them in a great spot. And I think the fan base would go crazy for it. That's where I'm going with him.
Can I tell you something, Rich?
Please.
We're getting to the point of the year where we start to make your divisional predictions,
yes, sir.
Your Super Bowl predictions,
yes,
all that stuff. I got a special, special feeling about Pittsburgh this year. I'm in. I'm going to go big on Pittsburgh in my predictions.
When is that?
Next
week?
They're going to do really special things.
Is that next week?
for next week? You're keeping that?
Yeah, we usually. Well, I mean, and Good Morning Football, we do it the day of kickoff, so it'd be next Thursday. We come out and we say this team's going to win, and this I very well may come out in a Roethlisberger or TJ Watt jersey that day.
Okay. I think they're going to that's what we call a tease. All right, before I let you go, Kyle, I'd like to spend just a couple minutes on our poll question here. Chris Brockman asked the poll question of Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and 10 questions with Kyle Brandt fans.
Kyle, my man, it is the 56th birthday today of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
What's his best movie? Point Break, Speed, John Wick, The Matrix.
This is a great question. I celebrate the man's entire catalog. I'm the guy who's seen Little Buddha, Johnny Mnemonic, The Lake House. I remember he was in a Paula Abdul music video. They're all great. Here's the answer. Here's my answer to the question.
Yes.
I think that the best movie, if I'm going to go by the letter of the law, the best movie is The Matrix. However, the best Keanu Reeves experience at the Keanu Reeves Film Festival is definitely his role as Johnny Utah in Point Break. That is the tour de force, 1991. It's in a way like his rookie year. He just got pulled up to the majors in 91. Before that, he was doing little appearances in Parenthood. He shared the screen in Bill and Ted. And then 91 is his rookie year in the big leagues up from AAA. And him and Angelo Pappas, the great Gary Busey, out looking over the Hollywood Hills and just going at it, just chewing up scenery. It's as good as 1990s cinema gets. I will say Point Break in a runaway, 100% pure adrenaline.
Where do things currently rank right there?
Love it.
Chris,
Point Break
question.
Is third right now at 20%.
The Matrix is going to win this.
Speed's at the bottom, 13%. We are neck and neck right now with over 5,000 votes. The Matrix, 34%.
Ooh.
John Wick, 33.2%.
Wow.
Rich, I think the movie that you have not seen, my personal guess, you said you hadn't seen one.
That is correct.
I think it's John Wick.
Okay, what do you think it is, Chris Brockman? What do you think?
You got kids at home. Yep. There's no way you've missed Point Break or The Matrix. No way.
Chris, what do you think?
You've never seen Jurassic Park, kind of in the same. I think you haven't seen Speed.
By the way, haven't seen Speed. I might have seen Speed the most out of all.
I was going to say, I'm going Matrix.
To the point where I even gave Speed 2 a whirl.
Wow.
One of the worst sequels of all time.
Cruise Control.
Okay.
Yeah, not good.
Cruise Control. That's right. Cruise Control. That's right.
By the way.
On the boat.
My God. All right. I don't mean to disappoint you, but you know, Chris, I rarely see the movie that you expect me to see the most. I have never seen Point Break.
Oh, my God. But he stole my heart.
I know. I'm so sorry to disappoint you. Look at TJ Jefferson.
It's not my disappointment. You would love it. You would love it so much.
Know.
And Swayze is so cool. And Anthony Kiedis is there. It's an awesome machismo packed sausage. It's so good.
McGinley's in it. Like, he
Johnny
is fantastic.
C.
Get your damn act together.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I appreciate that.
The closing credits of the film are the band Rat plays over it. It's not even Round and Round. It's like deep in their catalog. It's so 1991, Richard Hurts.
I know.
And I know you were loving life in 91.
No, I was a year out of college. I never saw it. And I need to fill that hole in my resume.
Please do. Please do. But Catherine Bigelow directed.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you, but I can't watch it with my kids, like filling the sandlot hole by watching it with my children.
You can't watch
right?
it with your kids. That's
I know. All right, very good. I'm sorry to everybody out there. I don't mean to disappoint. Play Kyle Brandt out, our new favorite drop from Jerry Jones, will you please? I think he'll enjoy this.
What you got?
Here we go. Mike, this is from the other day. You got
hang
that?
On. No, hang on.
Mike, how do you not have it ready? You have it ready. You've been playing it as a non sequitur 15 times.
Because I edited it for that second drop, so hang
okay.
on a second.
Yeah,
I can't do it quick enough. Sorry, Rich.
Do you have it or not?
Kyle's busy. Let's go.
I don't have it. I do not have it available.
You had it ready, literally. What do you got? Some sort of.
I edited it for the second drop. I'd have to re-edit it again.
What second drop?
Do you have J.J. Watt saying, let's play some tag?
Did you watch Ultimate Tag? Did you finish it?
Of course I watched after we talked. And he says it exactly like that. And he seems to say it 26 times before the first commercial break. It's awesome.
Okay. All right, Kyle. I'm sorry. Mike Del Tufo's had that drop literally ready. He's played it already four times today.
The entry point, so
he changed the entry point, Kyle. He's letting you know what's going on.
Del Tufo cannot see the Matrix, apparently.
We'll just have to get it ready for you next week. Thanks for coming on, and I look forward to having you join this the show on a frequent basis, sir. Thank you.
the Rich Eisen Show, the speeding bus that always stays above 50.
Appreciate
now that's a drop.
Well done, Kyle. You take care of yourself. That's Kyle Brandt. At Kyle Brandt on Twitter. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt from The Ringer and Spotify. Boy, he's been making news first month with that baby.
Right.
Mike Del Tufo, maybe on the next 10. I got 10 questions for Mike Del Tufo. How do you not have that drop?
It accidentally deleted because I moved something. So I screwed up.
What is happening?
Oh, gosh. That's how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Accidentally deleted.
Foul on Del Tufo.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Chris.
It's okay.
No, I appreciate you saying it's okay, when it's not okay.
I mean, I just think you would enjoy that movie. I mean, Swayze at his height, and like Kyle said, it's kind of like Keanu's rookie year. You know, he really breaks through and has a, you know, great performance. Surfing, it's fun. Gary Busey is out of his mind in this movie.
Well, I mean, you could say that about every single Gary Busey film, don't you think?
Pretty much.
Or TV show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I'm.
So when people say Utah, give me two, you don't. That just.
No idea. Was it the right state? Is it state? Is that how many electoral votes Utah has?
Got it.
Rudy Gobert jump shot?
Like young, dumb, like classic Johnny C lines. Like, it's okay.
Johnny C. McGinley, as you know, is one of my favorites.
Fantastic in that movie.
I've never seen it. I don't know when I'm going to see it either. I have no idea when I've got 2 hours to fill that gap. Chris Brockman so upset with me that
the
I haven't
thing
seen
about
Point
it,
Break.
The only fault, it's long. It's a long
it
movie.
It is a long
well, here's,
movie.
Here, well,
it's over 2 hours.
Okay, so basically.
That's not going to help make your case.
No, exactly.
You just don't have the time, which I get
just,
it.
You know what? Just triple it, and then I'll do a fantasy draft. So I'm disappointed that Speed is in last place in this film.
Yeah, the speed disrespect, I'm not really here for.
Come on. But, I understand that there's the whole, like, John Wick beats the crap out of everybody, and The Matrix, I thought, was going to run away with it, to be honest with you, because you could make a case that The Matrix is a great film in its own right, like a top 10 film. I bet you there are some people, like, what's your top 10 favorite movies of all time puts The Matrix there for so many reasons. I get it. But Speed. Sandra Bullock is driving a bus in the Oval around LAX while Dennis Hopper is blowing stuff up.
Spoiler alert.
Come on now. It's not that much of a spoiler alert.
I think they jump over the 105, which wasn't yet completed.
No, I know. They used the 105. Which we go over every day.
Every day.
Thankfully completed.
Right here. It was actually right here, too.
Yeah.
Right around the corner from the Rich Eisen Show studio. Literally, they shot Speed all around here.
Point Break,
there's also some other...
Alan Ruck is in that movie. He's like the weirdo tourist.
Yeah.
Jeff Daniels is Keanu's partner in the beginning of the movie.
Speed is a tremendous film.
Hopper
is amazing.
Amazing.
Hold on a second. Didn't Speed come out right around Die Hard, too? Weren't they right around the same time?
I think Speed was 94.
When was Die Hard?
Die Hard 88.
Okay, so Speed was like...
It was Die Hard on a bus. You know, it was the whole
Die
thing.
Hard
like,
on a bus.
They kept making these movies Die Hard here, there, where, everywhere.
Right, and the best part about Speed in terms of being like Die Hard was they celebrated Christmas when they were going through the third, you know...
That's right.
Terminal 3 at LAX.
Yep. Stop it.
All right, tell me the Charles Oakley story that you've been sitting on for an hour.
Okay,
great.
Breaking news this morning from the world of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Oakley is going to be on the new season of Dancing with the Stars.
What?
His partner
is
serious?
Kevin. Because they named Carol Baskin today,
so,
right?
Carol Baskin's on it from Tiger King. We all watched her in quarantine. Also going to be on it is Nelly, Desperate Housewives star Jesse Metcalf. Vernon Davis also joining the cast. Let's see. Anne Heche is on here. An NBA great Charles Oakley. And ice skater Johnny Weir, among a few others.
Okay.
By the way,
I am going to say this. All right, Liz, we're booking Charles Oakley.
Kevin,
yeah, does Kevin escort Oakley out?
I mean, his dance partner, Charles Oakley's dance partner.
It's Kevin. Kevin pulls him
out. It's Kevin from Madison Square Garden who Dolan has yanked people out of their seats.
Get me Kevin.
Yeah, what if he dances to one of the JD and the Straight Shot songs?
Oh, yeah.
He could do a little interpretive number. The Mamba to that thing or something?
I don't know.
The Garden Twist?
I don't think his music is upbeat enough.
Have you ever heard any of the songs?
Yeah, not the news I knew you were expecting, but.
What? Charles Oakley and Dancing with the Stars.
Charles Oakley.
Fantastic. You know what he should do? He should do the interpretive dance of Jeff Van Gundy around Alonzo Mourning. Should have that. Van Gundy's going to be calling games on ABC, on the NBA, on ABC. Already
cross
is, right?
Promotion.
It's cross promotion.
Why not?
How about Carol Baskin dancing?
There's
a lot of people who think Carol Baskin should not be dancing.
She should be dancing behind bars.
I know. Yeah. Allegedly, please. But Charles Oakley will be available for press bookings. Hey, Charles, you and I have something in common.
I mean, you can't get better than that.
Oh God, what's the name of the judge who flips out all the time?
Oh,
what's his name?
Bruno?
Bruno, right?
Thank you, TJ.
Bruno. I love the way that you interpret James Dolan sucking so bad. 10. I love the way you interpret your moves with the Dolan wormhole.
The Dolan wormhole.
Coming this fall.
How many times, Charles, the way that you made the whole thing work. How many times can John Starks miss?
You're in the wormhole. You've entered.
Is Charles Smith still missing the layup? Bruno runs through the top 10 most disappointing Knicks moments of my life. That's what I just morphed this news into. By the way, this is all interpretive. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't have any idea.
The only thing I know is
not that we thought was coming.
I knew that Vernon Davis was joining the cast.
Yeah.
So they've expanded the cast.
They announced the full lineup.
Shows are coming back. You got to love it.
Well, but they're all going to be, I imagine, dancing on Zoom, right? They're not going to be in
that
studio. I mean, it's some tight quarters in there.
I've
been there. Yeah, they could do just the floor.
Don't know.
It'll be just the two dancers.
Well, there won't be anybody in there.
Yeah, there'll be no one there.
Well, no audience, obviously.
You know?
I mean, but that's amazing.
Are you ready for our next guest, the third hour? Matt Ryan?
I'm ready for Matt Ryan to join us.
Ryan's going to join us.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan will join us.
Well, old Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure everyone of you is safe.
It's too late.
I fixed it.
Thank goodness. Have it ready for the Miz. By the way, could you imagine if, like, Matt Ryan, hey, my first question for you is, have you met Dr. Jones?
Rich, you got to move on.
And then the Miz will join us, who's got a choice behind us in our fantasy draft.
Yeah, what should we do there?
And he's a diehard Browns fan. Nobody really talking about the Browns. 1 year ago at this time?
Super Bowl contenders.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was like
the hype, 1 year the hype ago train at this time, was moving, man.
The hype train, you had to pump the brakes.
It was moving. It was like that Denzel movie.
Coming off a Hard Knocks.
Yes.
And it turned into Speed 2.
Truly one of the worst.
They never made a Point Break sequel, did they?
No, they did a Point Break remake
a couple
years ago that was not good.
Didn't see that one either. But, you know, John Wick, they're still making John Wicks.
They'll make John Wicks till the end of time.
They made Matrixes,
yep.
Plural, or Matrix I. Matri?
Matri.
And then Speed 2. Terrible.
Cruise Control. I forgot the name. Kyle.
Okay, so Matt Ryan's going to be... I cannot believe Charles Oakley is in Dancing with the Stars.
I know you can't.
Didn't think I'd be doing my Bruno imitation, by the way. Track and Field coming up next on NBCSN. Join us on Peacock, everybody.
COVID-19.
Spreading rapidly throughout the world.
Almost 1 million deaths.
African Americans.
Hit harder than others.
The double whammy.
I'm J.J. Green. I'm black.
I'm Chris Kohr. I'm white.
Join us on Colors, our new podcast.
As Dr. Anthony Fauci gives us some straight talk about race, risks, and vaccines.
On Colors, episode 12.
Subscribe to Colors on Apple, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.